advanced into the city as it relates to neighborhood planning. We were operating under county zoning from the 1970s, who knows when that was. And the neighborhood said no, that they deserved our attention, and they were right. And the process that has been put forward reflects, I think, really smart input that balances a mix of housing and commercial uses on the island, enhances the transportation network, and creates open space in keeping with Portland's long-term economic, environmental, and livability goals. If there's a shortcoming in the plan, I wish we could find more spaces for open space. And as we continue forward, that's our task. Look for more opportunities for that. But one of the early fights after the Superstore proposal and the temporary moratorium, one of the early fights was my desire and the neighborhood's desire to put a more normal street grid over the super center site. And that also proved to be initially very contentious. But I want to give credit to the owners of the super center who came around and realized that they had more opportunities, more economic opportunities by creating a more livable part of the island, and came around to support the street grid and also allow and support transit-oriented mid-rise development to complement the future light rail station. The plan also earmarks for the east side of I-5 opportunities for residential retail to serve the island and improvements to the connectivity for bikes and pedestrians, all at the same time while trying to preserve and enhance the marine access, the marine aspects of the island, and improve habitat along the Columbia River and the Columbia River shore. I want to thank the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Transportation, and all the city staff that worked on this. I also want to highlight three people, one, Brad Houghton and Ed Guerin, who were the co-chairs of the steering committee. But I also want to highlight Joe Zender from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, who took this on an already totally packed work plan, took this on, and his team took this on to make it happen. So congratulations, everybody. This is a great leap forward for Hayden Island. Aye. So approved.
May I just record an affirmative vote on that, Sue?
Did he not get to vote?
I think we just skipped over me, but that's okay.
I'm awfully sorry.
I associate myself with the remarks of my colleagues. I vote aye. Thank you.
Sue.
I have to down.
Oh, you did? All right. We are at, can you please read the title for purchasing report, council calendar item 1195?
Accept bid of Moore Excavation, Inc. for the vacuum relief valve project for $782,000.
Hello, welcome again.
Christine Moody, Bureau of Purchases. Before you is the purchasing agent report recommending a contract award to the low bidder for the vacuum relief valve project for the Portland Water Bureau to a local firm, Moore Excavation, in the amount of $782,000. Water and Purchases identified four divisions of work for potential minority women and emerging small business participation. The result on this contract is 100% MWSB subcontracting in the area of drilling and boring. I will turn it back over to council if you have questions about the bidding process. And I believe there's a representative from the Water Bureau here to ask technical questions.
Any discussion from council?
I have a question which I only just thought of. I haven't, and I really appreciate your assistance and Jeff Barrow's to my staff in getting all of my questions that I think of ahead of time answered. But this question is, we've had a number of contracts for more excavation, and I'm just wondering, is there anything in the bidding process that sets any kind of limits, or does that figure in as to whether do we give positive points to folks who've done a good job beforehand, and then in other projects, how does that work?
Not with the bidding process. Typically for construction projects, which this is one of them, it's an invitation to bid. And by state law, that is required just to go to the low bidder. So if there have been several to more lately, it's because they've been the low bidder when they've come in. And they have complied with all of our requirements. We do the good faith effort checking before we award the contract, and they have complied with that.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Any other? Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 1195? Sue, would you please entertain a motion to accept?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Sue, would you please call the roll?
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish. Adams.
Aye. Motion is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1196?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire certain temporary construction and permanent easements for construction of the Ash Creek Sewer Rehabilitation Project number E08834 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. As said, this ordinance authorizes BES to exercise eminent domain authority to acquire temporary and permanent easements for the Ash Creek Sewer Project. This sewer line runs through private property along Ash Creek in southwest Portland. The line was originally constructed in 1967, and the sewer now needs repairs, and the easements from the time of construction are incomplete or missing. If there's any further questions, we have...
What is temporary permanent easement? Those three words together, first two words together, how does...
I think the wording, John Deo with the Bureau of Transportation Right-of-Way Acquisition Section. The temporary easements are for construction purposes. They expire. The permanent easements in this case are for the sewer line.
Thank you. Other council discussion? Anyone wish to testify on Emergency Ordinance 1196? Sue, so would you please call the roll?
Mayor, you can't yet. You only have three of you, and it's an emergency ordinance.
We'll come back to it. Thank you. Thanks, sir. Can you please read the title, second reading only, council calendar item 1200. Before you do that, we're back in action. Can you please call the roll for council calendar Emergency Ordinance 1196.
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Thanks for your work. Aye. Agenda or ordinance is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance Council Calendar Item 1197?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire certain permanent and temporary easements necessary for construction of the Sellwood CSO Pump Station Project number E08467 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This project is one of the last capital projects in Portland's 20-year program to control combined sewer overflows to the Willamette River. The city is required to have this and all of our CSO projects completed by the end of 2011. Or face fines for illegal sewage discharges. So we have done considerable process looking at various locations for this pump station, and we believe that this is the best preferred site for technical as well as I think public involvement bases too. So we're urging approval.
Before we turn to Bill, do we have anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
We have one person signed up.
Good morning, Mayor Adams, Commissioners. I'm Bill Ryan, Chief Engineer of the Bureau of Environmental Services. I'd like to start with a little background on the pump station and on the program, the CSO program in general. In 1991, the City of Portland and the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality came to an agreement. The agreement said that the city would control all 42 CSO outfalls to the Willamette River by December of 2011. Environmental Services is currently constructing the East Side Big Pipe Project. I'm sure many of you have seen that and toured that. This project, however, will not control the outfall in Sellwood, outfall number 27. The big pipe project extends down to approximately McLaughlin and Southeast 17th. That's about 3 miles away from the outfall 27. The approximate cost of extending the tunnel, which is one thing we considered, from 17th McLaughlin to outfall 27 would be over $200 million. A little bit about the proposed pump station in Selwood and pump stations in general. Our system uses gravity primarily. We always prefer to use gravity. It's low cost. It's doesn't have long-term maintenance requirements of a pump station. And yet we do need pump stations in order to lift the sewage up in some areas. And right now we have about 100 pump stations across the city. There are actually two other pump stations in the Selwood neighborhood. Most of our pump stations operate continuously. They're sanitary sewage pump stations. They operate 24/7, bringing sewage out of the neighborhoods and delivering it up to our treatment plant in Columbia, on Columbia Boulevard, or to our other treatment plant down on Tryon Creek. After considering several alternatives, the Environmental Services determined in August of 2007 to control outfall 27 by using the existing Lentz trunk sewer, which if you look at your screens is running down Harney Street. That is the Lentz trunk sewer that becomes outfalls 27 and it outfalls into the river. We're going to use that as a storage facility since it would no longer be capable or be possible to outflow there as a CSO system. One of the considerations in siting the pump station was building it near outfall 27. It had to be physically located next to outfall 27. Another consideration is that the site needs to be large enough. We need at least about a half an acre of land in order to site the pump station and provide access for maintenance. There's maintenance required is typical for a pump station where we have pumping equipment, a control building to control those pumps, backup power generator, odor control equipment, and ventilating equipment. Unlike most of our pump stations, which run 24/7, this pump station will only be associated with wet weather flows and will only operate approximately 90 days a year, is the estimate. Based on our criteria of location, size, utilization of outfall 27, our design team came up with six locations, potential locations for the pump station in Selwood. A little description of our public involvement process. Throughout the time, we've had several newsletters and flyers to the entire Selwood community about our various Selwood projects. There are several other projects associated with controlling this CSO outfall. Our current mailing list has over 2,500 addresses in it. In January of 2008, Environmental Services held an open house to talk about all of the projects associated with the Selwood CSO control. And in that process, we showed a general area surrounding the end of the Harney trunk, which you can see on your map there. It had a large circle surrounding that saying that we expect there will have to be a pump station sited somewhere in this vicinity. In April and May of 2008, Environmental Services held public meetings regarding the six proposed sites for the pump station. The total attendance at these meetings was nearly 120 people. The meetings offered the neighbors the opportunity to ask questions, voice concerns, and provide staff with feedback on the proposed pump station sites. Staff also met separately with residents in May and June, including a number of meetings that included our director, Dean Marriott. In March of 2008, we hired a consulting firm who actually attended these public meetings and considered public input into their task, which was to review and evaluate the six proposed sites. They chose criteria for evaluation of these sites, which includes impacts to the public as the highest rated criteria of all of the six. Site characteristics as the next. Risks associated with the construction and continued operation of the pump station. The ease of acquisition or required permanent sewer easements and temporary construction easements. How easy was it going to be to get the necessary property, essentially? Cost. And finally, compliance with zoning and land use requirements. In June of 2008, the consultants recommended the site southernmost on the property partially owned by Portland Rowing Club. The site did not require the removal of area residences or homes, which a couple of the other potential sites did. And it minimized the project's effects on the Portland Rowing Club's long-term development plans, which they had already developed. It met the engineering requirements, including proximity to the Lentz Trunk. It had sufficient area and met all of our constructability requirements. At the point that the single site had been identified, Environmental Services formed a citizens advisory committee to provide advice on the building and site design. The Citizen Advisory Committee was an 11-member committee. It included three members representing the Waverly Condominiums. The Waverly Condominiums are an adjacent landowner immediately to the south of the proposed pump station site. It also included three members who represented the Portland Rowing Club, who is the property owner of the site that we're intending to put the pump station. There were four neighborhood residents from the single-family residential area up above the pump station site, and one member of the Smile Neighborhood Association. The committee met five times, or has met five times so far, to review site concepts and layout options and to assist in choosing architectural details for the pump station. During this process, BES staff has met individually with nearby affected owners at their request. We've also met with members of the Portland Rowing Club and have worked with their members to make our design compatible with the club's future development needs. In conclusion, we are sensitive to the fact that this project has caused concern for the neighbors, and we have worked to include them in our decision-making process and in attempts to mitigate the impacts on them. We've made significant efforts to listen to and incorporate the needs and interests of all of the stakeholders in the project, all of the stakeholders. And finally, we recognize that not everyone is satisfied with our plans. But this project is critical. It's one of the last linchpins, as Commissioner Saltzman said, to meeting the ASFO deadline, that is the agreement we have with the DEQ, and continuing to move forward in our efforts, the city's efforts, to clean up the Willamette River.
Thank you. Questions from council? All right, Sue, who's signed up to testify?
Robert Simon.
Simon, anyone else wish to testify on council calendar item 1197? Please come forward. Welcome to the city council. Glad you're here. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you for having me. I don't usually make regular appearances, though, from sitting here all morning. Apparently, you have a group of people who do. I've been honored to be appointed to several task forces by this council, most recently, Animal Services. To help the city and county deal with those nettlesome issues of funding animal welfare. And I take from that that at least some members of the commission value my opinion about process and how we can get to solutions that are good for everybody. I'm not wearing my tie today because I'm not coming as a lawyer. I'm coming as a homeowner who represents the 24 people who live in the Waverly Landing condominium. And I'm not coming today expecting anyone on this commission to oppose Commissioner Saltzman's decision that this site's the one that works. I'm coming today to talk about money and process. First, let's talk about process. When Mayor Adams was the commissioner in charge of that bureau he recognized in this setting, when I raised the issue, that my community was excluded from the site evaluation process. So when I brought it to the attention, and Mayor Adams made some commitments about remedying that omission. But when I brought this to Commissioner Saltzman's attention, he got a memo back in response to my concerns on February 18th of 09 from the project engineer BS saying that there was no more time to look at any other sites, and that in response to question 6, the score of this site for acceptability to the community was 94. So the testing, the scoring had never been redone. So the commitment you made, Mayor Adams, was not implemented, and I suspect because you became mayor, Commissioner Saltzman took over the Bureau, and there was no transition of such a modest recommendation by our small community. And our recommendation was made in May of 08. So when we made it, it was not February of 09, and the clock had not run out. And I had said in my observation in May of 08, if you don't tell the department, the Bureau, to look at some other site, they're going to tell you there's not enough time. And February of 09, that's what happened. So in my concern about process, my home, my community, was not a part of the process, and the scores that were developed in the process are now being used to justify the location without the participation of those owners. And Commissioner Fritz, you met those owners when you were campaigning, and you too made some observations about how the process should work. As far as money goes, I don't believe that you've had staff evaluate whether or not this is the least expensive and most cost-efficient location, because now you're going to authorize and sink money into acquisitions, the value of which and the price of which you do not yet know. So from a money perspective, you haven't really figured out what this is going to cost. And I'll conclude by one statement. I have suggested in my correspondence with Commissioner Saltzman that there are creative solutions to problems. And rather than put an above-ground facility in the public right-of-way in violation of the city's long-held encroachment policy, we could find another solution, a creative one. We could even put it below grade and not violate the city's policy. But it's my opinion that if we proceed to implement staff's direction, you will have to do violence to your own personal values and your own personal commitments, as well as the city's long-held policies.
Thank you.
Question?
Bill, do you want to come up?
Oh, actually, I have a question for Mr. Simon.
Go ahead.
You're right. I remember that I was at the April 08 community meeting at the Solid Moreland Improvement League, and I was concerned about the process at that time. So did I understand you just say that Waverly Condominiums was not included in the committee immediately after that?
It was not included in the committee in the process that evaluated the test score. There was, and the timeline issued by BES provides, there was a process subsequently after the decision was made to pick this site to decide what the building would look like and what kind of landscaping would be around it. I don't believe those are equivalent public processes.
So there wasn't a reevaluation of the site after May of 08?
The answer to your question is no, there wasn't. The proof is found on BES's own website, May 14th, called Meeting Notes. And May 14th, 2008, the meeting notes on the BES website say specifically they had already selected this site on May 14th of 08.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bill? So did you follow through on my commitment?
I believe we did, Mayor Adams. I know that at the time it was recognized we had certainly fallen down in our outreach activities, particularly with respect to the Waverly Condominium Association. It was a mistake. It was an error that was made. The association is a gated community. We were not able to leave door flyers at the doors. We obtained an address for a management company that we sent the notification to for the April meeting. Turns out that that was a bad address, so nobody got contacted. We made an attempt. We made attempts. There was a follow-up meeting in May, the beginning of May, that was a community meeting specifically identified at the April meeting, follow-up. That was scheduled. It was held. There were representatives of the Waverly Condominium Association at that meeting. Upon complaint that there was insufficient time and consideration, there was another meeting, public meeting, scheduled and held with Waverly and with whoever else would care to come to the meeting, is my understanding from the public involvement staff.
Just to clarify, was that after the site had been selected?
It was, I don't know the specific date that the site was selected, but I know that it was certainly considered, the issues that were raised by the Waverly Condominium Association representatives were certainly considered by our consultant in the selection of the site and then the weighting of the site. And in our, I mean, there were other sites that were identified by the Waverly that were not in the original six that had actually been considered prior and discarded because they were not engineering feasible, and they involved taking active local small businesses, taking their property and shutting them down. So we didn't pursue those any further.
So
in, and also in addressing your request to us, we did put together the Citizens Advisory Committee to, as I said, try to mitigate the impacts, allow Waverly Condominium Association and others to be involved in what the final product would look like and where it would be on the site, on the confines of the site. We did make changes to the plans. We did make changes, minor. They were minor. We are constrained by PRC's future development plans. We're constrained by the physical location of the shape of the property out there. But we did make some minor adjustments, moving the pump station further away, realigning the pump station to a different alignment fore and aft to have less impact on them.
Further away from Waverly?
Yes, it's a very minor amount, though, I will admit.
Can I ask just a point of clarification? Why is this an emergency ordinance?
The ASFO deadline requires us to be complete with construction by December of 2011. And if you back up from that point forward, this puts this pretty much on a critical timeline in order to be completed in time.
So let me just summarize the...
Bill, turn off the picture. You can take the map down.
Sue? You can take the map down.
Oh.
The previous time that this came to council, where, I'm going to make sure I remember this correctly, where issues were raised about notification for participation in site selection process. And we discovered there was, or efforts were made, but for the reasons you indicated, were not completed to my satisfaction, to the satisfaction of others. Did the follow-on process consider all the potential locations once notification was made, including the task force, which I do vaguely recall as being a supplement to the outreach efforts? Was the task force given the mission to look at all the sites again, and or is it only limited to just the design and sort of construction of this particular site?
The CAC was specific to the design and construction of this particular site. But as I said, there were some additional meetings that our consultant who did the final site selection process and did the quantification of public impacts and cost and all the other issues to come up with the site. They heard everything that the Waverly Condominium Association had to add to the process. We did not expand. We did not add additional sites to the review process because the sites that were requested had been specifically reviewed and discarded prior to the development of the six because of their not being anywhere near the suitability of the other sites.
So the CAC didn't look at the six, or they did look at the six?
They did not look at the six. They looked at the final site.
The final site. Okay. Other council conversation?
Why are we using the right-of-way? Why are we putting a structure in the right-of-way?
The right-of-way is unused at this time. It's a paper right-of-way. It's typical. The pump station that's three blocks away from there is in the right-of-way. Many of our pump stations are in right-of-way areas that are paper right-of-ways, essentially. We're using public property for public utilities.
Does that raise any policy concerns?
Do you want to talk about the 1981 major encroachment review policy and whether or not this applies?
I'm certainly not the best person to talk about the encroachment policy. I believe there is somebody here who could. Lindley or Pete?
And Mr. Castings.
Good morning. Pete Castings, City Attorney's Office. I'm actually not an expert on that either. I work more with Environmental Services than with PBOT. But I have looked at the 1982 policy. There are a couple of things to say about it. The first thing to say about it is that it is officially classified as non-binding city policy. So in the words of the city code, that means this policy, quote, does not have binding effect or serve as mandatory approval criteria for future decision making. That's the first thing to say. The second thing to say about it is I understand from talking with people at PBOT about it that this policy has historically and traditionally been interpreted as not applying to public utilities in the right-of-way. It would apply to non-utility facilities, such as, for example, park structures, clubhouses, things of that nature. But by and large, it applies to private facilities. In fact, it's written quite directly in terms of private facilities in all but one sentence. And again, historically, the only time it's ever been considered as applicable to public facilities is for facilities other than utilities. And as Mr. Ryan mentioned, there are numerous public utility facilities in right-of-way that have never been regarded as being subject to this policy.
And did we consider putting it underground?
We considered putting it underground. Underground wouldn't address issues that were of concern, which was odor, noise. Underground, the biggest issue initially for underground was the line of sight of the houses above the pump station. Would this affect their line of sight? The pump station is below their line of sight and won't impact their line of sight. So putting the facility underground, we can put it below the grade at considerable expense, but it will not address the issues of noise. It will not address the issue of sound. It will put us in a situation where in order to meet the flood zone elevation requirements, we would have to go and look at facilities up into the neighborhoods and take, I believe, the minimum number of houses that we determined we could take would be four of the single-family residences above the Springwater Corridor.
So the question was raised about cost. Is this the least cost alternative? And how was that weighted in this site selection criteria?
Cost was the least rated. No, it wasn't. Compliance with zoning and land use requirements was least rated. Cost was weighted at 10 points compared to impacts of the public were 30 points. Site characteristics, constructability, buildability, 20 points. Risk associated with construction and long-term operation was 20 points. And ease of acquisition was 15 points.
And these, is this the 95 number, the individual that testified, 94 number?
That's the number that added up to 94 for this site, yes.
And what was the number for the next highest rated site? Sorry, I didn't mean that.
71.
71? What documents are you looking at, and do I have it?
I don't know whether you have it. It is the report of the actual site selection.
I haven't seen that. I don't know if my staff has. I'd really like an opportunity to look at that.
Certainly.
Can we hold this over till next week?
Sure.
I'd like to, I apologize. I didn't have an opportunity to dig into this as I didn't know that some of these issues were still present. So unless there's objection, item number 1197 is held over for consideration until next Wednesday regular agenda. No objections. So done.
Thank you.
And it sounds like there'll be some follow-up questions from a number of council offices.
May I make a comment that one citizen showing up can get even at the last point where we're about to adopt an emergency ordinance can make a difference. So thank you very much for your time today.
Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance number 1198?
Authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to acquire certain permanent and temporary easements necessary for construction of the Fano Basin Pump Station Pressure Line, Garden Home Section Replacement, Project E08293 through the exercise of the city's eminent domain authority.
Commissioner Dan Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This ordinance authorizes the Bureau of Environmental Services to exercise eminent domain to acquire temporary and permanent easements for construction of the Garden Home section of the Fano Creek pressure line. I would ask approval.
Any council discussion required on this? Anyone signed up to testify on council calendar item emergency ordinance 1198?
No. Sue,
can you please call the roll?
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz?
As we just demonstrated, these types of project decisions are never easy and are not taken lightly by the council, the city staff, and certainly not by me. And the city will work to minimize impacts and accommodate citizens' needs to the greatest extent possible. I want to mention that I appreciate the residents and the neighbors' patience as the city works to correct these malfunctioning pressure lines and to return the facility to reliable service, and also recognize Commissioner Saltzman and the Bureau of Environmental Service for their good work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1198 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1199?
Accept easement from the United States Navy as part of the Portsmouth Fourth Main Project.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Again, this is part of our Big Pipe Project, and this authorizes us to accept an easement from the U.S. Navy for construction of the Portsmouth Fourth Main.
Council discussion. Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item emergency ordinance 1199? Sue, would you please call the roll?
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Please read the title for second reading, council calendar item 1200.
Extend benefits currently provided to eligible members of the Fire and Police Disability Retirement and Death Benefit Plan.
Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz?
I want to commend Commissioner Leonard and the state legislatures and Portland Firefighters Association Local 43, who worked on the cancer presumption legislation at the state, and that's why we're making this change. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
I'd like to echo Commissioner Fritz's comments and thanks. Aye. 1200 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance, council calendar item 1201?
Authorize a financial assistance award contract, loan agreement, and promissory note with the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department under the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 Safe Drinking Water Revolving Loan Fund Program.
Is anyone here to testify on this? Stan, you want to come forward? Tell us what we're considering here, please.
Sure. Stan Vandenberg, Water Bureau. And back in June 10th, we came to you with an ordinance to authorize a construction contract. The funding for that contract was part of this economic recovery program. And we said we'd be coming back with the contract with that program, and this is that contract for that work.
Council discussion. Anyone in the room wish to testify on emergency ordinance, council calendar number 1201? Sue, would you please call the roll?
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
This is good work in getting federal assistance. And the project is to remove and replace the submersible pumps with mercury seals and take them out. So I wanted to take this opportunity to thank Mayor Adams and commend you for being on the ball with the issue raised under citizen testimony this morning regarding mercury storage at Hanford. I'm ongoing amazed at the number of things that you and your staff were able to cover, and I appreciate it very much. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Thank you, Commissioner Fritz. It is very much a team effort. Aye. 1201 is approved. Can you please read the title for second reading, Council Calendar Item 1202?
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. We have a 4/5. And it's been so long since we did one of these, I forget, do we first vote to get it on the calendar?
No.
It's on. Okay. So this agreement, the agreement in this ordinance was first conveyed to city staff this past Monday, the 17th of August, by the Oregon Department of Transportation, and approval is needed quickly in order to meet the federal high-speed passenger rail program application due date of next Monday, the 24th. The agreement in this ordinance creates a unique opportunity to partner with the Portland Development Commission and the Oregon Department of Transportation to help bring about $12 million of federal stimulus funds to the City of Portland in a first round of high-speed rail funding applications with tentative opportunities for subsequent applications. If ODOT's application is successful, federal funds received will not require the expenditure of any city funds as a condition of grant approval or receipt. If ODOT's application is successful, this agreement will lead to a construction contract that is subject to paying prevailing wage rates and would provide Portland the potential of jobs for construction experiencing high unemployment, sector experiencing high unemployment. The agreement and this ordinance creates a good opportunity to make much-needed improvements to Union Station, which is a valuable historic building, significant multimodal passenger transportation hub, an important regional icon. Council questions or discussion? Would you like to read the title?
I should read the title. I don't know if I can read it that well, though, as you did. Authorized intergovernmental framework agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation for federal grant funds through the high-speed intercity passenger rail program for development and funding of the Union Station project.
Anyone here wishes to testify on council calendar item 4/5? Emergency Ordinance 1203. Please call the roll.
Salzman.
Well, I hope we get this grant. It's a much-needed shot in the arm for Union Station. Aye.
Fritz.
We certainly need high-speed rail here in Oregon and improved rail throughout the United States. I commend the city staff for being nimble, although I would have to say scrambling to get this done might be a better verb. Nevertheless, here it is, and we're getting it done, and commend Mayor Adams for getting that done. It would bring jobs and much-needed basic services to the city. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
67 spigots of potential federal stimulus money. Sorry that it's on 4/5, but we do want to take advantage of the opportunity, and I appreciate, once you saw the opportunity, that we're taking it to our staff team. Aye. Council is adjourned until next week.
I'm impressed. I was guessing 2 o'clock.
Really?